this and to slow it down. And for that, we need to sort of praise the whole community of resistance and those who had the hindsight to set it up and strengthen it so it could do the job that it's doing now.
Thank you very much. We're fresh out of time. Masoud Shajarat, Chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission from Brussels. Thank you so much. Samuel Abbas, journalist and political commentator from London. Thank you. With that, we come to an end for this edition of The Spotlight. From Miko Batawe and the team, it's goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details. Here, we enlighten you with the Ayah 61 of Surah Yunus, recited by Ahmad Mirzadeh Waqifi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ma takunu fi sha'nin wa ma tatlu وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا وما يعزب عن ربك من مثقال ذرة في الأرض وما يعزب عن ربك من مثقال ذرة في الأرض ولا في السماء ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب مبين. وما يعزب عن ربك من مثقال ذرة في الأرض ولا في السماء ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب مبين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. And you are not engaged in any affair, nor do you recite concerning it any portion of the Quran, nor do you do any work, but we are witnesses over you when you enter into it. And there does not lie concealed from your Lord the weight of an atom in the earth, or in the heaven, nor anything less than that, nor greater, but it is in a clear book.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Your headlines. Israeli regime strikes various locations in Gaza, including the southern city of Rafah, where at least 8 Palestinians are killed. European Union leaders call for immediate humanitarian pause in Gaza as a prelude to a sustainable ceasefire. And Israeli forces conduct new raids across the occupied West Bank as part of their crackdown against Palestinians in occupied territory. Hello everyone. Nearly 6 months into Israel's genocidal war on Gaza and the regime's unrelenting bombardment and shelling has claimed more Palestinian lives. Latest airstrikes hit a home in the southern city of Rafah overnight. At least 8 people, most of them women and children, were killed as a result. Also to the south, 3 others lost their lives in the city of Khan Yunis. And in northern Gaza, the city of Jabalia came under fresh shelling and airstrikes as well. The Israeli regime began its war on Gaza back on October the 7th, and since then, almost 32,000 people have been killed in the Palestinian territory, mostly women and children, and 7,000 others are still unaccounted for and presumed buried under rubble, and along with 74,000 others have been injured. Day 5 of the Israeli regime's siege at the Al-Shifa Medical Complex, where over 30,000 Palestinians are taking shelter, according to the Gaza Health Ministry. Palestinian officials said over a dozen patients have already died after they were deprived of medicine. And that's because Israeli forces cut off their water and electricity. Now Al-Shifa is the largest hospital in Gaza. The regime forces also abducted dozens of nurses, doctors, and medical staff. The regime says siege will continue for several more days and order the evacuation of patients, displaced civilians, and medical staff. It claims the Hamas fighters are inside the hospital and has already arrested over 300 of them. The Palestinian resistance movement, though, has dismissed this. It says attack on Al-Shifa is part of systematic destruction of health facilities in Gaza. Hamas also condemned what it called shameful silence of the international community to stop the Israeli war. Joining us from Gaza's central city of Deir al-Balah is correspondent Moti Abu Musabbeh for an update now. Hello, Moti. Good morning. Hope you're safe and doing well out there in Gaza. Now, Moti, just a couple days ago, the UN released that report saying that over 99 medical facilities have been targeted throughout the besieged Gaza Strip. And for since Monday, it seems like the misfortune has fallen on Al-Shifa Hospital and those inside it, whether they're the sick or medical staff. What could you tell us?
Good morning. Actually, before talking about this specific point, let me say that according to the latest developments on the ground here in the Gaza Strip, the Israeli occupation forces continued their air strikes and attacks against several areas of Gaza Strip. The last night was a bloody night for the Palestinian civilians in Rafah City, whereas 8 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed and massacred after the Israeli warplanes destroyed a residential building in Al Brazil neighborhood located in the eastern part of the city, knowing that Rafah is still absorbing and accepting at least 1.4 million Palestinian civilians living in dire conditions there. In the meantime, those airstrikes actually were resumed here in the central area of Gaza Strip as another residential building was destroyed in the vicinity of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital here in Deir al-Balah City. At least 10 Palestinian civilians were reportedly injured over that attack. Even the shrapnel were landed here in the yards of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery maintained shelling the northern part of Nusrat refugee camp, particularly Al-Mughraga and Al-Zahra neighborhoods, while the western part of the refugee camp, Al-Nusrat refugee camp, were targeted and hit relentlessly by a series of the Israeli airstrikes. When it comes to Gaza City, as you know, that the current situation is still catastrophic by all means, as the Israeli brutal aggression is still maintained and continued against the Al-Shifa Square. Dozens of the Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed and pummeled by the constant Israeli airstrikes. And in the meantime, the Israeli tanks are still firing and shelling the residential apartments and the residential buildings there. The entire area, the Shifa Square, has been reduced to be an unlivable place. It has turned to a battlefield over the constant and the chronic Israeli attacks and airstrikes. It's worth mentioning that the Israeli occupation forces for the fifth consecutive day are still attacking the Shifa complex. Needless to mention that thousands of the Palestinian civilians are still stranded inside the complex. They are completely trapped between the continuous and the chronic Israeli attacks and the catastrophic humanitarian conditions they are living, particularly when it comes to the Palestinian patients. At least 15 Palestinian patients passed away and died over the lack of the needed medical care after the Israeli occupation forces abducted and kidnapped the vast majority of the paramedics and the medical staff inside the hospital. We are talking about catastrophic humanitarian conditions they are living these moments, particularly after the Israeli occupation forces abducted and kidnapped the vast majority of the men and the young men, while the women and the children are still stranded there. On the other hand, the Palestinian resistance, as you know, are still fighting back against the Israeli tanks. Several Israeli tanks and more Israeli tanks were reportedly hit by the Al-Qassam brigades. We are talking about fierce clashes, and resistance is shown by the Al-Qassam brigades and Saray al-Quds in that area, knowing that it's the second time for the Israeli occupation forces to carry out a full-scale attack against the Al-Shifa Square. If you still remember that in November, the Israeli occupation forces conducted a full-scale attack against Al-Shifa, claiming that there are many tunnels beneath the Al-Shifa Square, and they claimed that the resistance officials and Hamas officials are located inside the complex, and those claims were completely refuted. And they are using the same claims, they are promoting the same claims and the same allegations these moments and this time. As you know, that The vast majority of the people who are still besieged there are from the civilians, mostly women and children. And we have watched a lot of materials and videos that document the existence of the Palestinian civilians there. So they are the same lame excuses of the Israeli occupation forces in order to justify the killing and the attacks inflicted in the area. We are talking about a brutal aggression that is still underway till this moment amid fierce clashes of the Palestinian resistance. And actually, it is entirely coming in the context of the constant and the systematic attacks of the Israeli occupation forces against Gaza's health sector and health facilities in Gaza. As you know, that since the beginning of this brutal onslaught on Gaza, the Israeli occupation forces deliberately have been attacking the health facilities in order to deepen the suffering of the Palestinian people and raise the death toll of the Palestinian civilians in a way that constitutes a collective punishment for the people here in Gaza Strip.
Right, Moti, and when the regime it lays siege on a hospital, Moti, and then it evacuates that hospital, it raids that hospital, and oftentimes it destroys that medical facility or complex. I mean, are there enough functioning hospitals and medical centers left in Gaza to absorb all the sick from those hospitals that are targeted, to absorb all those medical staff? And if not, what do people do?
Yes, actually, Gaza's health sector is completely collapsed when it comes to the fierce Israeli attacks that deliberately attacked and reached the entire facilities of the health sector in Gaza Strip. Let's remember that from the very beginning of this ground offensive against even the northern part of Gaza Strip and Gaza City and even Khan Yunis and Rafah, all areas of Gaza Strip were attacked by the Israeli occupation forces, particularly when it comes to the health facilities. Knowing that the Gaza health sector has been even collapsed and fragile before this war began on October the 7th. As you know, that Gaza Strip has been under the suffocating siege for roughly 17 consecutive years. This siege actually left those health facilities actually completely paralyzed, and they are completely overwhelmed and exhausted of those continuous years of siege. And when the war began on Gaza, as you know, that these systematic attacks actually added insult to injury for the Palestinian civilians, particularly when it comes to Gaza's health sector, because we are talking about unprecedented numbers of the Palestinian injuries who left behind every airstrike hits any area of Gaza Strip, and even the infrastructure of those health facilities and those hospitals actually are not designed to absorb this kind of unprecedented numbers of the Palestinian injuries and the Palestinian casualties in terms of the infrastructure itself, the medical appliances, and even the medical needs they need. Needless to mention how catastrophic it is when it comes to the Israeli systematic deprivation of those medical needs that are supposed to reach those hospitals. So we are talking about a real systematic Israeli policy that, as I've mentioned, deepens the suffering of the Palestinian people and exacerbates the humanitarian conditions for the people. We are talking about an entire population of Gaza that has become completely devastated over the continuous Israeli airstrikes, in addition to the lack of the needed medical care. Adding to this, the catastrophic humanitarian conditions resulted in from the continuous deprivation of the basic humanitarian needs and necessities.
All right. Thank you, Moti. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon. Moti Abu Musaba there joining us from Gaza's Deir al-Balah. And saying with Gaza, hundreds of Palestinians have been compelled to evacuate Al-Shifa Hospital following Israel's latest attacks there, and where thousands of displaced people are also seeking shelter. Here are some witness accounts of their ordeals.
They besieged us. We were there for 3 days without water, without food, without drinks. We have triplets. We cannot find the water to drink, the milk, for the sake of not the adults but the children. They were scared. I don't know what more to tell you. There's women over there. The situation is very bad, more than you can imagine.
We were surprised that at 2 a.m. there was shelling. The children were terrified. What more can I tell you? We stayed until the morning. We were not allowed to go down or up. They didn't care about a child or a pregnant woman or youth or anything. They took department by department. They started with the emergency department. The men came down. Some men did not come down. When the men didn't come down, they executed them. They executed many men in front of our eyes. They tortured the men with electricity. They took them out five at a time. The ones they wanted to take, they would tell them to get dressed and then they would detain them.
27 leaders from the European Union have called for an immediate humanitarian pause in Gaza as a prelude to a sustainable ceasefire. EU leaders made the request in a statement after a meeting of the European Council in Brussels. They also urged Israel not to launch a planned ground invasion into Rafah, saying it will only worsen the already catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza. They added Rafah offensive will also prevent the provisions of basic services and humanitarian assistance to civilians. EU leaders expressed deep concern about the catastrophic situation of children as well and the imminent risk of famine caused by insufficient entry of aid. They call for full, rapid, and unhindered humanitarian access into Gaza. Political analyst Thea West from Dallas, Texas in the U.S. believes ceasefire in Gaza will not be established as long as the U.S. and some other Western states, including Germany, continue to give Israel weapons.
The United States, under President Joe Biden, they're not serious about Israel, because if they were serious, they would not be providing them with money, with weaponry, also with military intelligence with which to attack the Palestinians in Gaza. And of course, they would not be vetoing everything in the United Nations Security Council that is geared towards ending this situation in Gaza, which is a situation of mass genocide. I personally don't hold out too much hope for a ceasefire of any relevancy, because Netanyahu's goal is to eliminate as many Palestinians, regardless if they're women or children, as he can. And he's trying to do that. He's trying to run out the clock doing that. When the United States says or is talking about a ceasefire, well, Benjamin Netanyahu is saying, we're going to continue to attack Rafah. We're going to send boots on the ground into Rafah.
The Israeli regime's forces have carried out new raids on various areas of the occupied West Bank, including the city of Tubas. They've also clashed with Palestinian resistance fighters defending the areas, making arrests. We were earlier joined by Ramallah correspondent Mona Candil for your details.
Every day we wake up to know that the Israeli forces had raided several areas across the occupied West Bank. We are not speaking about the specific areas, whether in the north or in the south or central, the occupied West Bank. Unfortunately, Israeli forces continue to storm villages, towns, and cities all across the occupied West Bank. What happened late on Thursday and early on Friday is that the Israeli forces had stormed the city of Tubas as well as Qalqilia. And in Al-Khalil, a number of villages the Israeli forces had stormed, like the village of Karmel, as well as Tuwani. And in Jenin, the Israelis had been storming the areas of Jenin, despite the fact that the Israeli military continued to carry out airstrikes against Palestinians there. And as experts are saying, it's even more easy for them to assassinate and kill those Palestinian fighters that the Israelis describe as wanted by the Israeli military. The Israelis stormed the village of Barta'a in Jenin, as well as Harabi and other areas like Fahmi, Kfar Ra'i, Umdar, and Ya'bad. So we are speaking about almost the majority of the villages to the south of Jenin had been stormed by the Israeli forces.
That's it for your latest. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulema, that are Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. The topic of the 11th episode of our Ramadan special series is self-sacrifice and martyrdom seeking, with a focus on Ayah 111 of Surah Tawbah of the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, please. We have all heard that the Messenger of Mercy, Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said in part of his sermon on the verge of arrival of the blessed month of Ramadan that the gates of hell are closed and the gates of paradise are open. He also said that Satan and his troops are tied in chains in this month. So, it is the best time for getting close to God through doing righteous deeds. Ramadan is the best period to achieve the best degrees in servitude of Allah. In part of Ayah 111 of Surah Tawbah, we read, "Indeed, Allah has bought from the faithful their souls and their possessions for paradise to be theirs." In every dealing, there are five pillars. God says that He is the buyer and the faithful are the sellers. Their souls and properties are the merchandise, and paradise is the price of the dealing. These were the four pillars of this dealing. Then Allah continues, "They fight in the way of Allah, kill and are killed." Then Allah mentions the fifth pillar, which is the valid document for the dealing. He says, "A promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Evangel and the Quran." Then Allah stresses, "And who is truer to his promise than Allah?" In the end, he congratulates the sellers, saying, "So rejoice in the bargain you have made with him, and that is the great success." Whenever something is said briefly in the Quran, it is explained in the following ayahs. Here too, Allah mentions nine characteristics of the faithful who sell their souls to Allah are penitent, devout, celebrators of Allah's praise, who fast, who bow in prayer, prostrate in prayer, bid what is right and forbid what is wrong, and keep Allah's bounds. Then Allah tells the Prophet, "And give good news to the faithful." When the faithless of Quraysh decided to kill the Prophet at night in his house, Imam Ali, peace upon him, slept instead of him in his bed so that the Prophet could leave the city secretly. God told his two great angels, Gabriel and Michael, "I have made you brothers and ordained the life of one longer than the other. Which of you is ready to have a shorter life?" Both of them asked for longer life. God then said, I have made Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Prophet as brothers of one another. Now Ali has slept in the bed of his cousin, Muhammad Mustafa, instead of him to be killed and preserve his life. Now go to the earth and guard him. Then Gabriel stood over Imam Ali's head and Michael stood below his feet. Gabriel extolled Imam Ali with the words, Allah is boastful of you, to the angels. At that point, Ayah 207 of Surah Baqarah was revealed about this unmatched virtue of Imam Ali, which reads, And among the people is he who sells his soul seeking the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is kind to servants. One of the best gifts of Allah to the faithful is martyrdom. Why is it a gift? Because everyone will die and there is no escape from it. Our most serious concern is related to after death, as we don't know what will happen to us. But martyrdom, which means being killed in the way of God, turns this unclear and worrying future to an honorable happening in both this world and the hereafter. The soul is the thing that men will lose inevitably, but Allah sells it with martyrdom and pays paradise as the price. This is not exclusive for Muslims. Allah has promised this in the Torah and the Evangel too. Moreover, it should be noted that martyrdom is among the concepts which few will be qualified enough to attain it. The most important factor to attain martyrdom is self-sacrifice, and the highest self-sacrifice is to sacrifice one's soul as the most precious property. Martyr is a person who sacrifices his soul consciously and insightfully in the way of Allah. It means that he or she prefer Allah's satisfaction to theirs. They abandon their soul, their children, their properties, their positions, and all beauties and pleasures of the world. In Iran too, martyrs lost their souls. They were the martyrs before the Islamic Revolution, the martyrs of the eight-year imposed war, martyrs who defended the holy shrines in Iraq and Syria, and those who were martyred for security of people in cities and borders. They lost their souls, but not their religion. Their only goal was to obey Allah and revive his religion. Martyr Mehdi Zainuddin, the renowned Iranian commander of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib division during the Holy Defense against Saddam's Ba'athist army, said on the self-sacrifice of the combatants, In one of the operations we faced with barbed wire and couldn't open the passage. We had to cross from there. The group commander gathered the forces and consulted with them. Everyone said something, but the best suggestion was that one of two persons lie of the barbed wire so that others could pass over them. Everyone volunteered and wanted to open the way for the group. At last, lay on the barbed wire with their faces. When they were asked as why they lay that way, they answered, they didn't want to make others feel shy when seeing their faces. Thank you.
on behalf of myself and all of my... On behalf of myself and all of my... On behalf of myself and all of my... On behalf...
Midstream.
Palestinian resistance Hamas responded on Friday, March 15, to the Paris 2 proposal with a phased agreement that emphasized the cessation of aggression on the Gaza Strip with withdrawal of the Israeli occupation army and the commencement of relief operations. However, the Israeli entity authorities are focusing on the issue of their captives to circumvent ending the aggression file. In the details, Hamas's proposed document includes a temporary ceasefire lasting 42 days in the first stage and transitioning to a permanent ceasefire in the second stage. In the first stage, the Palestinian resistance Hamas demands the withdrawal of Israeli forces from specific areas and offers to release of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for Israeli entity captive soldiers. The second stage requires a permanent ceasefire before any further prisoner exchanges. The proposal also involves launching a comprehensive reconstruction process for Gaza and ending the blockade. Hamas spokesperson Osama Hamdan affirmed in a press conference that the occupation is trying to shift the focus to the issue of captives to circumvent ending this aggression, considering the paper presented by the movement as realistic and highly flexible. Hamdan emphasized the prisoner exchange must take place, but not at the expense of fundamental issues, foremost of which is stopping the aggression. In contrast, the office of the Israeli entity Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described Hamas's proposal as unrealistic, but announced that a delegation would head to Qatar to discuss a potential agreement. In the same statement, Netanyahu's office added that the latter approved plans for the military operation in the city of Rafah, noting that the army is preparing for operational matters and for the evacuation of civilian populations. As for the Americans, they quickly seized upon Hamas's response, coming out to express their optimism, albeit cautiously. However, what stood out in their remarks is that they considered Hamas's proposal to be definitely within the framework of the deal we have been working on in recent months. This is according to a statement made by the National Security Council coordinator at the White House, John Kirby, on Friday, March 15. Kirby expressed hope that ceasefire talks in Gaza are moving in the right direction, adding, "We are closely involved in negotiations in Doha and believe that progress can be made. There is a new round involving other parties." At a time when Israeli entity reservations were clearly evident regarding the resistance imposing conditions concerning Palestinian prisoners to be released. On the other hand, what Cairo directly conveyed to its panelists is that the success of this deal will be linked to the seriousness of the parties in implementing it, and that what will be agreed upon in Doha must be binding, and it is not logical for there to be a resumption of fighting. Welcome to the Middle East Stream. I'm Mala Osman. As the Israeli entity War Cabinet and the Ministerial Committee for Security Affairs were briefed on Friday on the Palestinian resistance Hamas's response regarding the anticipated ceasefire and the prisoner exchange deal between the two sides, new details have emerged after lengthy negotiations mediated by Egypt, Qatar, and the United States of America. To discuss this issue with us from Beirut is Mr. Mohammed Al-Haj Musa, spokesperson of the Islamic Jihad Palestinian Resistance. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Mohammed. Now, Hamas responded on Friday, March 15, to the Paris 2 proposal with an agreement that prioritizes ending the genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, withdrawing of the Israeli occupation forces, and initiating relief efforts. However, the Israeli entity authorities are focusing on the issue of their own settler captives, especially the soldier ones, to avoid addressing the complete cessation of aggression on the Palestinian Gaza Strip. How do you see the talks moving on from this point?
Peace be upon you all. Greetings to you and to our brave, steadfast people under the Zionist killing machine. We affirm that this Zionist entity, which has not achieved any goals on the ground due to the steadfastness of the resistance, the resilience of the Palestinian people, and the steadfastness of the resistance men in various support arenas, is now embarrassed and knows that the end of the war means its inevitable loss in the battle. Any war and any battle are determined by achieving political objectives, not by the ability to destroy, wreak havoc, kill, and commit genocide as the criminal occupation does. This occupation believes that ending the war under the current reality with the presence and steadfastness of the resistance is a crushing defeat for it, as it does not want to end the war but wants to emerge victorious. Therefore, by continuing this war, it tries to achieve any of its military objectives and wants to release its prisoners unconditionally and complete its aggression. Naturally, as resistance, we will not allow that. Our Palestinian people have made many sacrifices, and we are steadfast in the field until the occupation is forced to agree to our conditions in recognition of our sacrifices and the sacrifices of our people.
وتعاملنا بإيجابية على قاعدة أن نرفع هذا الظلم عن أهلنا ليس لأننا ضعفاء لا بفضل الله موجودون في كل ساحات
All the conditions we, as resistance, have set, we have shown very high flexibility with the mediators and dealt positively with the principle of lifting this injustice from our people, not because we are weak. On the contrary, thank God we are present in every confrontation arena in every inch of Gaza, and we will continue until this occupation knows that it must agree to our conditions. Part of the pressure exerted by the occupation is media pressure, and we have shown high flexibility for negotiations and that we are ready to discuss this issue.
Well, Mr. Mohammed, the office of the Israeli entity Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu labeled the proposal coming from the Palestinian resistance as an unrealistic proposal. They didn't like it, but they declared that they will send a team to the Qatari capital Doha to explore the possibility of an accord. The Netanyahu administration but then said that it has approved a plan to actually invade Rafah. Do you think this is part of the negotiation bluffing tactic by the Zionist team, or will Zionist Israel actually outdo itself in its own genocidal warfare and genocidal behavior and try and actually attempt to invade Rafah, which is packed right now with 2 million displaced Palestinians?
Exactly what you said. This is part of the continuous Zionist lies and deception since the beginning of this aggression. And before that, throughout this aggression, they lie and try to mislead public opinion. It is very clear that there is a contradiction in the occupation because it realizes that it is now forced to provide answers after its failure in the field since the beginning of the war until today, and after the images of massacres and genocide that come out of a strip over time. The world today no longer hears and sees with Israeli entity and American eyes. The world now realizes the facts, thanks to the steadfastness of the Palestinian people and what Palestinians show over time in images that confirm the massacres of this occupation. Therefore, some governments demanded the Zionists to reduce the state of killing because they have achieved nothing yet. Now the occupation constantly threatens to go to Rafah and commit massacres while saying that it is also continuing the political process at the same time. How is that possible? This threat comes within the framework of the same negotiations. It threatens to have bargaining chips, thinking that by doing so it can pressure us in the resistance and push us to retreat and submit to its conditions. The fundamental dilemma here is that it blackmails us into postponing the military operation in Rafah, not stopping the aggression. Therefore, this is something we will not allow in the resistance. In our opinion, agreeing to any of these issues means leaving our people to this occupation to continue its killing and achieve its dream of displacement. So if the resistance agrees to any conditions without the basic points, this means accepting a siege harsher than it has been for 17 years. And this means that we are facing a more difficult reality as Palestinians. We are in a stage that requires steadfastness and resilience. What is happening in the Strip is painful and very difficult humanely, but we as resistance remain steadfast in the field. All our military units are still operating in the field, and we will not allow the occupation and the Americans to snatch from our hands the paper of the prisoners' release, only for them to return to killing and extermination.
Mr. Muhammad, this is what I want to talk to you about with the last 2 minutes that we have. The comments that we heard from John Kirby, who is the White House coordinator for the National Security Council, said that the proposal by the resistance in Palestine actually falls within the framework that the U.S. is trying to portray to end the aggression on Gaza. I find personally that a bit hard to believe, since the U.S. has been evidently found to be complicit in the genocide against our Palestinian brothers and sisters. So why are they suddenly so optimistic now?
In my opinion, the United States is not optimistic, because when it announced that what Hamas and the Palestinian resistance presented comes within the framework of the Paris paper negotiations, they want by this statement to pressure Netanyahu as part of the soft pressure between Biden and Netanyahu due to their difference in tactics. They are certainly in agreement at the strategic level, but at the tactical level, the U.S. administration has emphasized that Netanyahu is currently stuck in the Gaza quagmire, and that continuing the war as it is means that this entity will be in real danger in the coming days due to the steadfastness of the Palestinian people, the resistance, and the efforts of both brothers in all support arenas until the conditions of resistance are achieved. What the United States wants is a tactical change in the war. As for Netanyahu, he is exploring new objectives to prolong this war. But Biden realizes through all the reports from the Zionist field, like Eisenkot, Gantz, and others, that the occupation army cannot achieve Netanyahu's illusions. This has caused some problems at the tactical level. In our opinion, the U.S. administration is not a partner in this war, but rather is managing this war since Biden came and chaired the Zionist War Council. But it seems that Netanyahu has gone beyond the boundaries drawn for him and aspires to achieve more objectives. However, the United States knows that the resistance in Gaza remains alive, present, accepted, and supported by the Palestinian people. Biden wants this extermination, but he supports it with a soft extermination, without sound and image, and stopping it would end the state of global discontent that has reached the streets of the West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Muhammad Al-Haj Musa, spokesperson of the Islamic Jihad Palestinian Resistance, for your time and effort to be on our show to discuss what the proposal of the resistance is and what to expect from the upcoming talks in Qatar. Now, ladies and gents, please stay tuned, because next we are going to talk about a very rare meeting that took place between Palestinian resistance factions and the Yemeni Ansarullah resistance.
This is Midstream, and here is IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, in this weekly program, Marvo Osman discusses two important issues related to West Asia region with two political analysts. Midstream is with you every Friday on IRIB English Radio.
Informed sources revealed a meeting that brought together multiple Palestinian factions from Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine with the Ansarullah resistance movement in Yemen during the past few days to coordinate regarding the upcoming phase. The sources, as per Agence France-Presse, stated that the purpose of the meeting was to coordinate positions with Ansarullah, who in turn confirmed their continued support operations in the Red Sea and beyond in support of Palestinian Palestinians facing genocide by Zionist Israel. More details in the following report.
A rare meeting was held last week between leaders of Palestinian resistance factions and the Yemeni Ansarullah resistance group to discuss mechanisms for coordinating the resistance's actions against Zionist Israel, according to Palestinian sources cited by Agence France-Presse, AFP. The agency did not mention the names of these sources it spoke to on Friday evening, but attributed one of them who refused to be named as saying, an important meeting was held last week with senior leaders from Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, along with the Ansarullah resistance movement, to discuss coordination mechanisms between these factions regarding resistance actions in the upcoming stage. According to a second source, also unnamed, the Ansarullah movement confirmed during the meeting that it will continue its operations in the Red Sea against ships heading to the enemy state, meaning Zionist Israel, to support Palestinian resistance. The meeting also discussed the complementarity of the Yemeni role with Palestinian factions, especially with the possibility of Zionist Israel invading Rafah. The agency did not specify the location of the meeting, the names of the participants from the Palestinian faction's leadership, or the Ansarullah movement. This revelation comes after the leader of the Ansarullah resistance movement, Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Houthi, announced expanding the scope of attacks on ships linked to Zionist Israel, including those avoiding passage through the Red Sea and sailing in the Indian Ocean via the Cape of Good Hope in the far south of the African continent. Since November 19 last year, Yemen's armed forces, which are aligned with Ansarullah, have targeted Israeli entity-linked ships in the Red Sea and the Arab Sea in solidarity with the people of Palestine, who are currently facing genocide in the Gaza Strip. The U.S. and U.K. have been waging a violent aerial campaign against Yemen since mid-January in response to Yemeni naval operations. Since this campaign began, the scope of Yemen's operations has expanded to include U.S. and British vessels. As a result of Yemeni operations, major international shipping companies have been forced to reroute their vessels around South Africa's Cape of Good Hope, where Ansarullah vowed to prevent ships from reaching as part of the new expanded operations.
Now to discuss this issue with us from Beirut is Mr. Ali Al-Zahri, Yemeni journalist and political commentator. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Ali. Now, in a very rare meeting, at least since the Al-Aqsa flood operation that happened on October 7, 2023, the Palestinian resistance factions have met secretly with the Yemeni resistance movement Ansarullah. Now, it was not revealed where this meeting took place or with whom and at what level this meeting took place. But what does that meeting signify at this point in time of the genocidal U.S. Zionist war on Gaza?
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, greetings to you and to all the valiant fighters in Palestine, Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and all the free people in this world. Regarding the meeting, it came as a culmination of the coordination and communication efforts since the early days of the Al-Aqsa flood operations, which is a natural outcome dictated by circumstances, data, and the magnitude of the great battle. This meeting is not the first of its kind, as stated by the leader of the revolution, Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Houthi, that coordination and communication with all resistance movements are ongoing. Each resistance movement has offices in Sana'a, and communication has been ongoing before and after the flood. However, the announcement of this meeting was made without much information about it, as a culmination of this integration in various arenas, and due to the significant developments on the ground, it was necessary to elevate the process of communication and also intensify the strikes to support Palestinian resistance on the negotiation table. There are media reports that the meeting was held in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, which is natural because the battle is won and Yemen must be a supporting front in it. We affirm that the Yemeni Republic coordinates greatly regarding the military aspect in addition to military support. It leaves a negotiation matter, as Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah stated, that the Palestinian negotiator today negotiates on behalf of all resistance movements. We are supportive fronts and leave the negotiation entirely to the Palestinian negotiator. Even the issue of holding the Israeli ship and its crew is solely in the hands of our people in the Al-Qassam brigades. If they want to keep the crew or exchange them, there is no objection. It's up to them.
The people who are concerned about this, if they want to exchange the crew or exchange them,
وإن أرادوا التبادل وتفاوض حول هذا الموضوع فالموضوع متروك لهم.
Well, Mr. Ali, the leader of the Yemeni Ansarullah movement, Sayyid Abdul Malik Badruddin Houthi, announced in his speech on March 14th that his group will expand its maritime operations in support of the resistance in Gaza against the Israeli entity-linked shipping, not only preventing them from passing through the Arabian Sea or the Red Sea or the Aden, the Gulf of Aden, but also if they pass in the Indian Ocean towards the Cape of Good Hope in the southernmost point of Africa. Was this announcement made after the meeting was held with the Palestinian factions or before it? Because this might, if it happened after it, it might indicate that this was part of something to support the Palestinian resistance in its upcoming negotiations. What do you can say about that?
Our operations since day one have been in support of the Palestinian people and to prevent Zionist ships from passing through the Bab al-Mandeb Strait and reaching the port of Umm al-Rashrash, also known as the port of Eilat. With the continued massacres and genocide against our people in Palestine and the imposition of the siege on them, all ships heading to the ports of occupied Palestine were prevented from reaching, even those with different nationalities, thus tightening the noose on the occupation. When the Americans and the British intervened and announced their alliance called Prosperity Guardian and attacked the Yemeni Navy, resulting in 10 martyrs, their ships were subsequently included in the target list. With the tightening of the blockade in Gaza and talks of famine and deaths among the elderly and children, where more than 15 children died from famine, malnutrition and drought, it became imperative for us to further tighten the noose on the occupation.
هذه العمليات كلها مرتبطة بفلسطين حصرا ومرتبطة بإسناد أهلنا في فلسطين. موضوع العدوان علينا والرد على الأمريكيين نحن نستهدف سفنه وبوارجه الحربية وسفن.
Thus the announcement was made to expand Yemeni operations from the Red Sea to the Bab al-Mandeb Strait, to the Gulf of Aden, to the Arabian Sea, and now towards the Indian Ocean. These operations are exclusively linked to Palestine and supporting our people in Palestine. Regarding the aggression against Yemen and our response to the American British, we target their warships and merchant vessels. However, the expansion to the Indian Ocean is related to the Zionist siege on Gaza. As mentioned by Mr. Commander Abdul Malik al-Houthi, since the beginning of the war on Gaza, a group of missiles and drones has been launched from Sana'a, more than what was launched in 8 years on Saudi Arabia during the aggression on Yemen, and the coming is greater. The more severe the blockade and aggression against our people in Gaza, the greater our response will be.
This is what I want to discuss, Mr. Ali, because what do you think are the prospects of increasing this kind of economic pressure on the Zionist Israeli entity and the Americans and the UK by default? Will it escalate tensions in the region? I mean, could it potentially expand the scope of the conflict if the aggression on Gaza did not stop, if the negotiations did not work?
Whenever the blockade and aggression on Gaza intensify, it becomes imperative for the resistance in Gaza to escalate its strikes, and it becomes necessary for supporting fronts in various arenas to expand their operations. What we witnessed recently in terms of expansion in the north along the Lebanese border, there was an intensification of strikes by the Islamic resistance in Hezbollah, as well as in Yemen and Iraq. Thus, the expansion of the conflict is contingent on Zionist performance. The tighter the siege on our people in Gaza and the more frequent their strikes, the more there will be intensification of Palestinian strikes and strikes by supporting movements, because we must confront escalation with escalation. The ball is now in the court of the American and Zionist aggressors. If they do not want to escalate the conflict further, they must cease their aggression and lift the siege on Gaza. If they persist in aggression, the region will inevitably witness further escalation. All our options are open, as Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said, between us lies the battlefield, the days and the nights. If the Israeli entity opts for escalation, they will not be received with flowers, smiles, statements or condemnations, but rather with more strikes, more iron and fire. Supporting operations are effective, and it is up to the Zionists and their settlers to endure these strikes, this siege, and this situation that is heading towards a greater escalation.
هذا الحصار وهذه الضربات وهذا الوضع الذي هو يعني يعني متجه الى نحو التصعيد اكثر.
Mr. Ali Al-Zahri, Yemeni journalist and political commentator, it's a pleasure to have you on with us to discuss the meeting that happened between the Palestinian resistance factions and the Ansarullah Yemeni resistance faction. And from my platform, again, I want to thank my brothers and sisters in Yemen for their support for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. We are definitely one nation, one people, and this past war, genocidal war on Gaza, has proven that we are so. Ladies and gents, thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program.